Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, as you are baptized into Christ, we have come to know that when God speaks, well, his word is fulfilled. We trust that. It is kept. It is as if all of his words are promises, which he never goes back on. Now, some of you have gone through your catechisms a little more recently than others. But in our catechisms, we learn, and through the scriptures, that God speaks his word and it comes to us, it's received by us in two ways, law and gospel, both of which he keeps. The law being the word that commands, that demands, that sets out for us what is in bounds and out of bounds. The word that exposes our sin and our shortfallings. But then he also speaks the word of gospel. Word that brings life and forgiveness and trust and clings to his promises. In both words, in both types of speaking that we find in the scriptures, they are from the Lord, and they are always kept and always fulfilled. We know from our own experience how vastly different that is from the words that we hear around us. As a child of the 80s and would spend late nights watching television when I probably shouldn't have been, I can remember those infomercials. You remember those? Infomercials. And what do? They make promises. Bold promises. If you buy this, you'll have a better body. If you get this particular sponge, your whole house will be clean and immaculate. If you take this pill, well, your hair will grow back thick and full. If you do this program, you'll have more popularity. Promises. Are they fulfilled? Probably not. It goes beyond that, though. Sometimes even the words that we speak go unfulfilled and unkept. It could be a simple thing as telling your wife, "Oh, honey, I'm going to go take out the garbage," and then forgetting. Telling your kids that you're going to go someplace special, and then maybe bad weather or another commitment comes up and you can't keep that promise. It can be more serious, of course, like making vows and promises to love, honor, and cherish until death parts us. And as time goes by, the words go unfulfilled and promises are broken. The effects that these unfulfilled, unkept words of promise have on us are harmful. When we go against our word, we hurt our neighbor. When others break promises, we ourselves are hurt. Repeated and broken promises lead to relationships that are strained, that are stressed, that can even be broken. And all this is just in our earthly relationships with one another. As Christians, we also know from God's word that these things exist. Our failure to love one another exists because of our sin. And that sin came first and foremost in our relationship with God when Adam and Eve decided that they were not going to trust the promises, the word of God. And now we experience the consequences. God spoke his word to Adam and Eve, and he fulfilled it. He kept his promise. He spoke the word of the law and its consequences. He spoke a word of gospel, which promised blessing. Adam and Eve went against God's word, and he spoke of consequences. Let's see if they're true or not. He said that there'd be pain in childbirth for the woman. Is this true? He said that the woman would desire the role of her husband and that there would be conflict now in marriages. Is this true? He said man's labor would be hard and toilsome and that mankind would live by the sweat of his brow. Is this true? He said the ground from which man was to live and from which he came from would be cursed because of his sin. Is that true? He said that all of mankind would eventually return to the dust from which he was formed. Sadly, we know that's all too true. From dust we have come, and to dust we will return. God fulfills his word. But see, he also, in his great mercy and grace, speaks words of blessing, words of gospel, words of good news to Adam and to Eve and to us. He promised that Satan and his lies would not prevail. He promised that one born of a woman would crush the serpent's head. He promised that the broken relationship between man and God would be repaired, and that the broken relationship with one another and creation would be put right. This is also true. And I want to point out to you why we can be so sure of that good news, as well as just seeing the consequences of sin. For that, we go a few chapters later in Genesis, beyond the first three chapters. A few chapters, but a number of generations from Adam and Eve and their offspring. A few generations from the flood in Noah's time to his descendants, to Terah and Abram. That's what we read about in Genesis 12. Abram was living in Haran with his extended family. He was married to an attractive woman named Sarai. They had no kids. They seemed to enjoy all the comforts of this world. They had plenty of earthly possessions. They had servants. They had livestock. Abram was not some poor schlep of a guy. He had a good life in Haran. But then God spoke to him. He said, "Go. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God's word spoke to Abram. He spoke with a command, a law, "Go," and also with a promise filled with grace, "and I will make you." Abram was 75, his wife was 60 when God's word called to them. And what did Abram do when he heard the word of the Lord? I think he did, his teachers would be proud of him. He said, "Okay," and he did it right away. Right? They packed up everything and they went where they were going. They didn't know until the Lord showed them. That Abram and Sarah went and trusted in God's promise of grace is what the Apostle Paul, thousands of years later, refers to and looks back and says, "Look, this is faith. Faith not springing from inside of self. Faith is rooted in the promising word of God that comes from outside." It wasn't Abram's idea to get up and leave his family. It was God's. And when God spoke, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Abram believed and trusted, said okay, and did it right away. Eventually, they came to a place where they were to settle, but the word of the Lord came again, promising that the descendants of Abram and Sarai would fill the land more than the sand on the seashore, more than the stars in the sky. But there was a little problem for the couple. They had no children. Years pass. Abram and Sarai grow impatient. They decide to take things into their own hand. They decide that they're going to help God fulfill his promise. Sarah presents Abram with her servant Hagar so that he might have a child by her. And they do, but it's not according to God's plan, and their actions do not fulfill God's promise. And yet here, God is merciful to them, even in their hasty attempt to fulfill the promise by their own works, which does not work. God mercifully keeps his promise to Abram and Sarai. Though they don't deserve it, because they went against God's word, they should have been punished. But God does not go back on his word. When Abram is 100 and Sarai is 90, they have Isaac, the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise. And this birth of a child was a powerful sign to them that God, in fact, keeps his word. Now, this wasn't the only sign that went with Abram and Sarah. It's not the only sign that showed Abram that God would keep his word. He gave Abram this great sign of the promise given to boys on the eighth day of life, the sign of circumcision made in the flesh, so that Abram and all of his descendants would be reminded of God's great promises to him. That's an Old Testament history lesson right there. You might be wondering, what does this have to do with us today? It's this. These and other accounts in the scriptures show us God's promise to Adam and Eve, even to Abram, are all fulfilled, all kept in Christ Jesus our Lord. And they are for you. Matthew, the gospel writer, begins his account of Jesus by drawing us to this fact that Jesus is the one first promised to Adam and Eve, who is promised to Abraham, who is promised to David. He said, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham," and you can read the rest of the names yourself, but the point is this: Jesus is the one being born from Abraham to fulfill that promise of blessing the nations. How does this blessing of the nations come about? It comes about in the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, to restore the broken relationship between God and man, to restore the whole of creation. In his death and his resurrection, Jesus satisfies God's wrath against our own broken promises, our own faithlessness, failures in our relationships, both with God and man. The cross and the empty tomb, they're the ultimate sign of God keeping his word. They fulfill all the passion predictions made by Jesus. They validate that the promise of God is true. Just as he gave a sign to Abram, the covenant of circumcision, so he gives a sign to us of his faithfulness, a pledge. A new and better sign than that of circumcision done in the flesh. We have a new circumcision done without the hands, as Paul says in Colossians 2. He says, "In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." This is what Jesus and Nicodemus were speaking about that night when this Pharisee comes to see Jesus and asks him about signs. This is the sign that is needed. No circumcision, but being born from above, born again by water in the Spirit, being baptized into Christ, buried with him in his death, raised with him in his life, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Fellow baptized in Christ, ones who look to Jesus for the fulfillment of all God's promises, this means for us in our day and age that as Christ lives us in us and we in Christ, that our yeses should be yes and our noes should be no, right? That by the power of the Holy Spirit, we strive to keep our promises. Why? Because we bear Christ in our bodies. We are witnesses of Christ. We should be found to be true and faithful, so that when others see us and speak with us about our Lord, they have no reason to doubt. Our words are to have weight behind them because we are Christ's. This also means, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that in those times come when we don't keep our word, we should look again to the one who does. We are always called to confess our sin and not try to hide it like the world around us does. We are to be open and honest with ourselves and with God and with our neighbors. We are to recall our baptism and the sign of God's promise of forgiveness of sin and life in Christ, and then to be reconciled and to get on with our vocations, being witnesses of Christ. It means that we can look forward to the ongoing fulfillment of God's promise and our part in it as His children as we bring others the good news of Jesus. As we are in Christ and Christ in us, God is continuing to bless the nations through us. As parents bring their children to be baptized, as friends and colleagues talk about forgiveness in Christ, as congregations publicly proclaim Christ crucified and risen in word and deed, God is at work in us and through us so that others might hear. And finally, brothers and sisters in Christ, it means that we can look forward with hope. Look forward in hope to the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise, where He restores all of creation because His word is faithful. In times of disaster, distress, war, disease, we can be assured of God's word that He will triumph over all these things and put creation to rights once again, because His words are promises, and God always keeps His word. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the faithful one. Amen.